On this special Easter service, I'd like to preach one little verse from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. And this will encapsulate, I think, the faith we have in this wonderful day. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Profound words, and by God's grace I will try and explain them more to you as we go on today. Hopefully the scriptures will be projected throughout the message. Keep your eye on the word as I preached, and you will see this is not the word of man. This is the amazing word of God you're going to hear. Let's pray. I just pray, Lord, that you will once again manifest the glory of your grace through the preaching of the word. Speak to all those who have ears to hear. Draw those who may not yet hear, Lord, but, oh God, may their consciences be aroused even by the sound they hear today. And may the glory of the resurrection be once again burned in our hearts. Enable me to preach. Enable people to hear. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Scripture tells us that on Good Friday, Jesus was crucified. He hung on a cross, and we know it was for our sins. He died on that cross. Then he was taken down and laid in a tomb. But on the third day, he rose again. Well, that's the message of Easter. It's the climax of the scripture's promise. Christ died, rose to life again, and now rules and reigns in eternal life. Now you may say, but we've heard this so many times, it doesn't really impact us all that much. So I thought what I'd like to do today is explain what happened on Easter in a fresh way. I'd like us to consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a way that you might not yet have fully realized. So the title of my sermon today is this: Easter, the day death exploded. The day death exploded. Now you may say, what? Exploded? What do I mean by that? I'm sure that you've all heard of the Big Bang Theory. Not the TV program, the theory. Cosmologists love to say that the universe began with a Big Bang. Well, today I'm going to prove to you from the Bible that the real Big Bang actually happened on Easter morning 2,000 years ago. Quite literally, Easter is the day that death exploded. So please keep this thought in your mind as we go on now. In our text for today, we read that the Spirit of God is the one who raised Jesus from the dead. Please notice that it's important. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit was the instrumental cause of Easter. Now, why is that important? In this passage, why is that essential to the Easter hope? Well, let's start at the beginning. Little diversion, but this will get you tuned up to where I'm going to go, because I'm going to hit you with something amazing, God willing. Do you believe in life after death? Do you know, logically speaking, I don't. Do you know that Christianity does not teach life after death? I bet I've got your attention now. But I'm serious. The words life after death, linguistically, logically speaking, are nonsense. If you understand definitions. How can I say that? What is death? What do I mean by the word death? Death means the cessation of life, the end of life. If something is dead, by definition, it has no life in it. Death means lifelessness, okay? If I say to you, I saw a fox lying in the road yesterday and it was nearly dead. Or let me say, it was a little bit dead. You would say to me, I'm talking nonsense. Why? Because death means no life at all. And if something is a little bit dead, even if it's 99% dead, it's not dead, it's alive. Death means no life. Would you agree? Now, if somebody claims to have life after death, then obviously they never died. The famous philosopher Bertrand Russell pointed this out in a debate he once had, and he said this: to make the statement life after death is a logical, linguistic absurdity. You might as well say up is down or black is white. Life after death is a self-contradicting statement. Well, if we don't teach in this church life after death, then what do we teach? The Christian hope is not life after death, but listen, life exploding death. The Bible teaches us that on Easter morning, death exploded. Now, how can I say that? What is an explosion? An explosion is an outward blast. A force that starts on the inside and blows outward. That's an explosion. Explosion. Ex means out of. Plosio in the Latin. To send. To release. To explode means to blow out from within. Easter is the day that death exploded. Right, you all still with me? Now, I'm going to tell you one more story before I come to the punchline of the passage, because you've got to get what I'm saying before this passage is going to impact you. 3,000 years ago, the Greek writer Homer wrote a book called the Iliad. And in this book, he told of a great city called Troy. Now, Troy was at war with the two city-states, Sparta and Athens. And for years, the Greek army had besieged the city of Troy. But the city of Troy could not be captured. The walls were too thick. The defenses were too impenetrable. And it seemed as if no one was ever going to capture the city. But then they had a great idea. Who knows the story? They decided, the Greeks, to build a big wooden horse. And then they dragged the wooden horse up to the city gates. They waved goodbye to all the Trojans on the walls. turned around and marched away over the hill. Wow, the Trojans were a bit perplexed. And they thought, well, they must be going home. They must have had enough. They opened the gates. They went outside, looked at the horse. Wow, it seems the Greeks have gone. They dragged the horse back inside the city, locked the gates. Of course, they locked the gates behind them. And they celebrated. All night long, they danced around and drank and partied around the horse. But that night, when everyone was asleep, six Greek soldiers opened a secret trapdoor in the horse. These Trojans must have been a bit dumb, but anyway, the horse was opened up and the soldiers came out. They got to the gate, killed the guards, and from the inside opened it up. And of course, the Greek army had come back in the meantime, and the city was ravaged. The city of Troy was destroyed from within. It was destroyed by explosion. Now, I could put it like this. Death was once the great city of Troy for the devil. It used to be, before Jesus died and rose again, that once a person went into the city, they would never come out again. Death was Satan's impenetrable city. But when Jesus entered into death, just like the wooden horse of Troy, he destroyed death's power from within. But how did he do it? How did he destroy death? By dying. Well, here you need to know a little bit of theology. We believe in doctrine in this church, and let me show you a reason why we believe in doctrine. Who was this Jesus who died on the cross? Who was he? He was the son of Mary, a man of flesh and blood, just like you and me. But Jesus was also the Son of God. Jesus had a human mother, but he did not have a human father. Jesus, we know, was born of the Holy Spirit, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus was, therefore, fully human, the Son of Man, and yet fully divine, the Son of God. He was completely human, and yet he was completely divine. Merged together in a hybrid, in a mixture. You cannot separate the divinity from the humanity of Christ. We call it in theology the hypostatic union. Now you may say, why do I need to know words like that? Let me tell you why. Jesus, when he died, entered the state of death. Just like any other human being, he died. He was able to spill blood. His heart was able to stop beating. And Jesus, just like any human being, died. He entered death. But Jesus is God. He's the source of life. He is the fount of life. He's the resurrection and the life. He is the very life of existence, life itself. And when Jesus entered death, he went in as the Trojan horse went into Troy. You see, death could not hold the divinity of Christ. How could death contain the source of life? And it was inseparably bound to the man Jesus. So it had to spit him out. And when it spat out Jesus, the Son of God, well, it had to spit out the Son of Man because they were bound in hypostatic union. Do you get it? It's put like this in a famous hymn. Death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. The Holy Spirit of God Himself was in Jesus when He died. The very fountain of life was taken into the uttermost darkness, and life burst forth in that darkness, and death could not contain it. It had to spew forth the Son of God. It had to explode the Son of God. And the Son of Man is hypostatically bound. And this is why we're told in our text that it was the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the tomb. The same Spirit who conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary is the same Spirit who resurrects Jesus from the terrible darkness of death. Okay, do you see now why I say the title of my sermon is "The Day Death Exploded"? Death really did literally explode, because Jesus is inseparably God and man. When death had to spit forth the Son of God, it couldn't contain him, it could do no other than spit forth the Son of Man at the same time. Hypostatic union. The Spirit birthed the Son of God. Mary birthed the Son of Man. And they were bound. And they both came forth from the grave, because death could not contain that. And that's why Jesus rose from the dead. He was able to die because he was a man, but he could not remain dead because he's God, bound into hypostatic union. Now, when we see how Jesus rose from the dead and how death could not hold him, it should fill us with wonder. But I'm coming to the best part now as I close. Jesus was able to burst forth from death because he had been birthed of the Holy Spirit. Remember the Immaculate Conception of Christ? But now, look at what we read in our text. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, what? Just stop there for a moment. Are you telling me that the same Spirit that conceived the baby Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary, if that Spirit that walked with Jesus throughout his miraculous life, that Spirit is in me? Yes, if you're a born-again Christian, it's because God has put his Holy Spirit in you. Christians are born into the heavenly realm by the same Spirit who birthed Jesus into the earthly realm. Now, if you have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in you, then what happened to Jesus when he died? The very same thing is going to happen to you when you die. That is what the text is saying here. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit. And that's why we celebrate Easter time. Scripture tells us Jesus is the firstborn from among the family of the resurrected who are to come. Just as death could not contain Jesus, just as death had to explode Christ, because he was God, the same Spirit who lives in him lives in you. And death will explode you too, the Bible says. Well, that's why we celebrate Easter. Not life after death. Don't let the atheists try and get the upper hand on us. You know, they're going to split hairs about definitions. Don't say, "I believe in life after death" next time. Say, "I believe in life exploding death." They won't be able to get around that one. The question is this. Are you going to burst out of death when your time comes? Will death be able to contain you, or will the life itself in you not be able to let the death keep you? Not everybody has the Spirit of Christ. Please understand that. How many of you remember how Walt Disney died? Walt Disney had an incurable disease. He was only about 70, and he wanted to rise again from the dead. And he had lots of money, lots of boodle. So he paid to have his body frozen. It's still frozen now in Los Angeles. He's in a deep freeze. And he was hoping that one day, you know, one day when technology and medical science has got so advanced, they'll be able to unfreeze him, revitalize him, and heal his sickness. How sad, how pathetic. You know, even if one day medical science can revitalize a frozen body, even if one day they find a cure for his sickness, he died when he was about 70. He'll only have a few more years and he'll be dead again. You know, no one can escape death. But in Christ Jesus, we read here today that we do. Death cannot hold a spirit-filled person. Put a born-again Christian into a state of death, and death must spit him out. Why? Death cannot contain God, who is the fountain of life itself. And all those born again are the very temple of the living God. Do you not know God's Spirit lives in you? Inseparably bound forever. So let's celebrate Easter this time with a wonderful sense of what it really means. God, the eternal source of all life, is in the hearts of you. And you will be raised just as he was raised one day for that very same reason. Death couldn't hold him because he's God and man. Death cannot hold you because human being in you is the very Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I just pray that we won't just walk out and say, oh yeah, another sermon. Please burn this in our hearts. The very Spirit who birthed Christ into this world has birthed us into the spiritual realm, and we're temples of the living God. You will never take your Spirit from us. So when we enter death, Lord, we enter as life. Praise you for the resurrection. And praise you for the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen.